The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
In the Tfilah of Rosh Hashanah, end of Yom Kippurim, we say Ushuva Utfilo Utstoko Mavirin Esrei Agzeiro. Tshuva, repentance, Tfilo, that's prayer, Tstoko, charity, will remove the evil decree. Of the three that I mentioned, one is Tstoko, charity. It's written in Mishlei, Perek Yud Posuk Beis, Utstoko Tatzil Mimovis. The charity saves one from death. It's also written in Mishlei Chof Aleph, Posuk Chof Aleph, Reidib Stoko Vechesed Yimotze Chaim Stoko Ukovet. A person who pursues Stoko, charity, Chesed, and loving kindness, he will find life, charity, and honor. And on these days, as we approach the great Yom Hadin, we ask for a Shnas Chayim. First and foremost, we want a year of life. And we want to remove the evil decree. There's another posuk in Mishlei Chof Aleph Yudalet, Matan Beseser Yichve Of, V'sheichat Becheik Chema Azo. A person who gives charity secretly, he will cover the anger and the wrath of the Almighty. And in these days, we want to cover the anger or the wrath of the Almighty. Also, there's another posuk in Mishlei, Chof Alev Posuk Yud Gimel, Eitem Ozne Mizakas Dol Gam Hu Yikro V'lo Ye'oneh. He who closes his ears to the cries of the poor, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu also will refuse to listen to his cries. And on the Rosh Hashanah, we certainly want HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lishmaya Ela Tfilo V'Ela Rino, to listen to our prayers, to listen to the songs of our praises. So therefore, one of the great qualities which we are obligated to fulfill all of the year, but especially in the days of Elul prior to Rosh Hashanah, the days of the Aseret Yemei Tshuva prior to Yom Kippur, is the mitzvah of Tzedakah. This mitzvah is a very, very great mitzvah. To be compassionate to the needs of our fellow members of the Jewish nation. And the sages elaborate a great deal on this mitzvah, and it would be impossible to explain this mitzvah in its entirety in one shir. Perhaps one day we'll have the opportunity to say a series of shurim on this mitzvah. So this evening, we'll just try to dwell on some of the points of this mitzvah. And in this community, Jews are known to be very, very charitable. They support and maintain the wonderful institutions of South Africa, the institutions of Torah, of education, the institutions of welfare. All of the many, many important institutions, and also they're known for their generosity, which they give overseas, and in particular to Eretz Yisrael. But the is a mitzvah which everyone has to constantly study about in order that he can improve himself. The major source of this mitzvah is in Parshas Re'eh, Tesbo Posuk Zayin, Ki yevecho evyud me'achar achecho ba'achat shorecho be'altzicho asher Hashem alakecho neisin loch. That when there will be poor amongst your brethren, in your gates, in your land, which Hashem shall give you, le'sa'amitzes levovcho ve'le'sikpeitzes yotcho me'achicho evyud. You shall not harden your hearts, and you shall not close your hand from giving to your brother who is poor. Ki foseich tivtach es yotcho lei. You shall open your hand to him. You shall give to him in accordance to what his lacking is. Guard yourselves. Now this is referring to both giving an outright grant or to lending him money. Lending him money interest free, which is also inclusive in this mitzvah. Not only is it inclusive, it's one of the best ways to fulfill this mitzvah. And the Torah tells us you shall be careful that you shall not have an evil thought in your heart. In Eretz Yisrael, during the time of the Beis Hamikdash, in the seventh year, all of the loans were cancelled. And the lender didn't have to pay back. The borrower didn't have to pay back. The lender could not claim the loan once the seventh year passed over. So therefore a person might think that if there's a long time till the seventh year, till the Shemitah, I'll lend him. But if it's near the Shemitah, why should I lend him? I'll lose my money. And that the Almighty said, be careful. If he needs the money, do not have an evil thought in your heart that the seventh year is coming. And therefore you will hold back, you will not give to him, and he will cry out to Hashem and you will be guilty. You shall surely give to him, and you shall not feel badly when you give to him that you might lose your money. Because of this HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bless you, and he will bless all of the works of your hands. Because the poor, there will always be. And the Gemara tells us even further. It's a galgal achezer. Just because a man is wealthy today and someone else is poor, does not mean it's going to remain that way. The tables turn. If not by him, then by his children. And if not by his children, then by his grandchildren. It's a galgal achezer, it's a circle. A cycle which ever turns. So therefore, there will always be poor, and perhaps from his own family. Therefore, I command you, Paseach Tiftach es Yotcho, open up your hand generously. Lo'achicho l'aniyecho ule'avyeincho be'atzecho. To your brother who is poor in your land. The Rambam writes in regards to this mitzvah. At the beginning of Perek Yud of Hilchos Matnas Aniyim, we are obligated to take care of this mitzvah, Yosef we call mitzvah's essay, more than any other positive commandment. Now this is quite a statement for the Rambam to write, that we are obligated to be careful with this mitzvah more than any positive commandment in the Torah. Because we have Resh Mem Ches mitzvahs. We have 248 positive commandments. And amongst those commandments are some very, very important ones. For example, there's what is known as the mitzvahs of Bris Milah and Korban Pesach, the positive commandment of circumcision, or of Korban Pesach, which are two mitzvahs that have a chiyuv koras that a person must fulfill, else he's cut off. We have mitzvahs of tefillin, tzitzis, mezuzahs, tkiyah shofar, sukkah, krishma, and even the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which is considered the greatest mitzvah in the Torah, of that of study of Torah. B'chol mokam ha-Talmud kodim. Learning always takes priority, because sha-Talmud mevi lidei ma'isa, because it brings one to deeds. Nevertheless, the Rambam writes, chayovin onu lizoeh b'mitzvah sedokah. We are obligated to be more careful with this mitzvah, Yoser mikol mitzvah zeseh, more than any other positive commandment. And he explains why. Shehat stoko simen letzadik zera Avram Avinu. Because stoko, this is a sign, this is a hallmark to the seed of Avram Avinu, of Abraham. Shenemar, as it states, and Pashas Vayiro ki yodativ leman asher yetzave es bonov lasei stoko. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham, he said, I have brought him close to me because I know he will command his children to do tztoko, to fulfill this mitzvah. What is the Rambam saying? He's saying as follows. Every mitzvah every mitzvah we are obligated to fulfill because it's a mitzvah which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given to us. But it's not necessarily a testimony, a proof that we are from the seed of Abraham. The idolaters can also circumcise themselves. Non-Jews can also put on tzitzis or put a mezuzah on their house. Other mitzvahs do not prove that we are from the seed of Abraham. But stokah, besides being from the mitzvahs of Hashem, it also testifies, it is a proof that the person who is generously giving to those in need is a descendant of Avraham Avinu. And therefore the Rambam continues. And he says, V'chol mishu achzori, whoever is cruel, ve'ina marachim, and is not compassionate to the needs of others, yesh lochus liyachusay, then his lineage is under suspicion. Shein achzorius mitsuya ela akum, because cruelty, to be selfish with one's own wealth when there are others in need, this is found only by the idolaters. Shenemar, as it states, Akzori Hema Vela Yerachmu. They are cruel and they are not compassionate. Bechol Yisrael Vanil Vaalehem, and all of Israel, Keachim Hem, they are like brothers. Why are we like brothers? Shenemar Bonim Atem Hashem Lekechem, because it states we are all sons to Hashem. If we are all sons to Hashem, Yisrael was given this special status, then we are brothers. And where do you find that one brother will not be compassionate to another? And if we are not compassionate to our own brothers, then who will be? The Akum, the idolaters which hate us and which pursue us and which will not help us at all. Now this is quite a statement which the Rambam sets forth at, as he starts to explain the importance of this mitzvah. That all mitzvahs, even the most important mitzvahs, they are not a proof that the doer is Jewish, that he's from the seed of Abraham. Non-Jew also can come. He can come into shul and put on tzitzis, a talis and put on tefillin. He can eat matzah. He can blow the shofar. He can circumcise himself. Today there are many non-Jews that circumcise themselves. But a Jew that can give tzedakah, that can generously perseach tiftach, open his heart to others. When we say open his heart, it means both in mind and action to give. That only a Jew can do that. Only the seed of Abraham can do that. And therefore, this mitzvah serves as a siman, as a hallmark, that he is from the seed of Abraham. And this, we could ask the question, what about Gerim? What about the convert who was not born from the seed of Abraham? If we say that only the seed of Abraham has this nature, so what will we do with the Gerim? This is why the Rambam adds here. He says, "Bechol Yisrael va'anilva haleihem ke'achim." All of Israel and all of those who have come to become part of Israel are brothers. What it tells us, Gerim, a convert, is kikon shenayledomi. He's like a newborn. He becomes a brother of Israel. And he assumes all of the natures of the Zer Avraham. Fact is, there's Gemara that state that he is considered from the seed of Avraham. Especially there are some Sforim that write that those that came to join Klal Yisrael, many of them were part of Klal Yisrael to begin with, but they were lost, or others should have been, but for some reason they did not become part, so later on they became. From here we see that this quality of giving, of generous giving, this is a Jewish quality. And this is what we see with our own eyes. There is no nation in the world that can give like Jews can give. This is a fact. The fact is, professional fundraisers who work for big national organizations in America and other places told me that. They said there's no nation, there's no people that can open up their hearts and their pocketbooks and give the type of money for needs like the Jewish people. And this is the reason for it. Because this was the nature of Avraham, and he imbued this to his seed. And from this we understand what the Gemara tells us in Baba Basra, Daf Yud. And the Rambam brings it shortly, that we quoted in when we read from Parshas Re'eh, be careful that you do not have evil thoughts in your heart. Bili'el. Bili'el is a statement, a type of word which is used by Aveiros Zora, by idolatry, the Gemara says. As it states, Yotzu Anoshim B'nei Belial, that men went out. This is speaking by Yerani Dachas. Men went out. Belial means bli ol, without the yoke of Hashem. And the Gemara therefore says, from here we learn that kol amalim ayin min atzdoko, whoever closes his eyes from charity is ki'ilo eiver aveir zora. It's as if he commits idolatry. Now what does that mean? Someone who closes his eyes from stalkers as if he commits idolatry. So the Maral explains, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's the Makor HaChaim. Source of all life is the Almighty. Whether we're speaking of quantitatively, whether we're speaking qualitatively, or whether we're speaking bitmidus all of the time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is something which we must give constant thought to. HaKadosh Baruch Hu constantly and continually gives life to his creation, to his creations. HaMefanes lechol chai, Nesein lechem lechol bosor. He supports, he sustains, he gives bread to all of his creations. He doesn't give them a little, he gives them a great deal. He doesn't give them bad bread, he gives them good bread. And he doesn't give them once or twice, but with b'li hefsik, without stopping. The influence of life which comes to this planet from the Almighty is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without stopping. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore he's known as the Makor HaChaim. He is the source to all life, always. If someone becomes a Baal Tzedakah, he gives to those in need. He opens his heart, he opens his hand generously. What is he doing? He's being loleches b'chol drochov. He's walking in the ways of the Almighty. He's becoming a shutef. He's becoming a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he's giving life to others, and he's becoming close to him. V'dof kuvei, you shall cleave to him. How can we cleave to him? Cleave to his ways. If he is a giver, then you be a giver. If he is a source of life, you be a source of life. Then you're not only fulfilling what he says, but you're doing what he does. V'halachta bidrochov. To the contrary, someone who does not give or cannot give, he's distancing himself from the Almighty. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is known as the well and the spring, the fountain which never ceases. Idolatry is known as Boris Nishborim. These are dried up wells that have no water in them. Because what do idols give? They are made of wood and stone, and they give nothing. If a person closes his eyes from the charity, from the needs, then he is following the ways of the idolatry. And therefore, the Chazal tell us, Kol ha'mayil malim ayin min hatzdoko is ki'ilu eved avodah zarah. It's as if he serves idolatry. Then there's another reason the Maral explains. In the parsha of Tzedakah, it keeps mentioning Ochicha. And right in this posuk of Belial, where the Gemara learns this from, Yishom alachom pen yadovel im levavcha Belial, it states, V'roin chob Ochichoem. It states your brother. Why should we be compassionate to another Jew? Because he's our brother. And one must feel the needs of a brother. Why is he our brother? Because we are one. And this testifies to the oneness of the Almighty. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Echad, and Amcha Echad. Your nation is one. Mi Kamcha Yisrael Go Echad Boretz. This is the oneness. Bonim atem Hashem l'Hashem elokechem. You are all sons to Hashem. If a person closes his eyes to the need of his brother, what is he saying? He's testifying to the fact that this is not my brother. Like the Rambam explains. How can you not give? Hale achicho, who is your brother? If you cannot give, that's a self-testimony that he's not your brother. So you are testifying against the oneness of the nation of Israel and the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, it's ke'ila ever avei zora. It's like an idolatry. You have taken yourself out of the nation. And that's why the Rambam concludes in this section where he's speaking of. He says that if someone gives, this is a sign that he's the one in need is his brother. So they come from Avraham Avinu. But if he cannot, so this is a sign, he's testifying on himself that he's not from Avraham Avinu. Actually, in other places, the Rambam goes further. And he says, even though the main mitzvah of tzedakah, this is to our brethren, our fellow Jews. But he says, a Jew, if he's from Avraham Avinu, he must show compassion to all creations. In one place, at the end of Perek Tes of Hilchos Avodim, he says, even to your slaves, you're not allowed to be cruel to them. You must show compassion to them and be generous to them and give them to eat from whatever you eat. And then at the end of Perek Yud of Malachim, and he says, even to the idolater, you must be generous to and you must be compassionate to. And he explains why. Because these are the ways of Hashem. And we're obligated to walk in the ways of Hashem. There also, it's a fraternity. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, so there's a oneness to the entire world. Why should you be compassionate to others? Because you are associated with them. You come from the same world that they come from. All of His creatures, they come from the same one, the same force. So that's carrying it even further. Now this is what the Rambam writes, that a Jew is obligated to be more careful in this than any other mitzvah. What he means is that there's many times that we might find it difficult to give. For example, some Jews are not brought up in that fashion. Or maybe they were brought up between others and they didn't see this. Or there's always the Yetzer Hara, which tells them, why should they give? They could keep the money for themselves and they could buy themselves a new car. Or they should save it for their old age. Or sometimes it's Yishabel Arosho. They're in a circle of friends who they themselves are selfish. So therefore we must work on this, the Rambam says, all of the time. Because this is the nature of the Jew. And if there are obstacles in the way to that nature, we must constantly work at it. And if he's a true Jew, then he will overcome these obstacles. If he's a person who cannot overcome these obstacles, then the Rambam writes on that, Yesh lochush liyehusay. Then you can be suspect to his lineage. And from here we also see the great obligation not only to constantly educate ourselves in this mitzvah, but to educate our children. This is a mitzvah which, like all mitzvahs, need education. The last generation knew very well what tzedakah was. because they saw in their fathers and grandfathers. But you can't expect children to learn this on their own. Therefore, this is a very, very great obligation. Could you open a few windows? I think it's too hot. Before going further, I'd like to just quickly quote a few halachas from the Rambam, who summarizes some of these halachas. For example, kolaneisin tzedokah loani b'seiv uponim ra'os. Someone who does give charity, but he gives it with a bad temperament. Like he says, are you here again? Are you asking again? And he gives it very despondently, or with anger, or with sadness. Even if he gives the person 1,000 pieces of gold, he can lose his great schus. Because one is required to give and receive upon him yafesu misimcha. He's obligated to give to the needy with a good temperament and with simcha. And he's obligated to feel the sorrow of the needy. And to be medaber ledivrei tachnunim v'nichumim, and to comfort the one that's in need, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. What happens if a poor asks for something and he doesn't have what to give? Then he should be faiseh b'dvorim, then at least he should comfort him with words. Also ligor be'oni o lehagbir kelo alav betzako. One is not allowed to shout at him or even to raise his voice to him, because he is broken. And it states that when the broken and the downtrodden cry out to Hashem, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens. He should be like the Almighty. And the Almighty is known as the Av Le'Avyanim. He is the father of the poor. And therefore, he also should be like the father of the poor, who not only give, but also comfort them and and make them rejoice. Someone who influences others to give, then he has that reward, and it's even a greater reward than when he gives himself. And that's why those who collect money for tzedakah, it states, umatztiki arabim kekechovim, they bring schus to Israel, and they bring light to the world like the stars. Then the Rambam says there are 8 levels in the giving of tzedakah. One higher than the other. Ma'ilik deli shein lemala mimeno. The greatest level of giving tzedakah, this is when you see someone who is falling. Someone is in financial difficulty. You go and help him, either by giving him a grant or a loan, or you make a partnership with him, or you send business his way, in order that he can raise himself up and not be forced to take tzedakah. And that's what it states in the Torah of Aktubay. You shall strengthen his hand. This is the greatest level of tzedakah. That when someone is falling, to do something so he doesn't fall. Send business his way. Offer him a partnership. Offer him a job. Give him a loan. Or give him a grant. The next level is when someone already has fallen, and you give charity, and you do not know who you're giving to, and the receiver doesn't know who he's receiving from. This is the greatest mystery, he says. How do you do that? So this is when you give to a fund. You give to a tzedakah fund. So you don't know particularly where the money is going, and the recipient doesn't know who he's receiving it from. Because then there is no embarrassment whatsoever between the parties. This is the next highest level. Then the Rambam says, but this has a shortcoming also. Even though this is the second of the levels, eight levels, says a problem also can be problematic. Because the Gemara says, then those who are a mamuna, those who are appointed on the fund, have to be tzaddikim. They have to be impeccable, very, very righteous men. Otherwise, how do you know that your money, your hard-earned money, is not going to be misused? Maybe it'll be given in the wrong directions. Therefore, if there is not such a fund available, who the mamuna, those in control, are righteous, law-abiding Jews, then you must give it yourself. But the next level then is that where you give it, but they do not know who they're taking from. And this we find many times in the Gemara, that the sages used to go and secretly they would leave money in a house of a poor person, where they knew who they were giving it to, but he did not know who he was receiving it to. Another level was where the poor knew who they were taking from, but he didn't know who he was giving to. For example, sometimes they would go and hold money behind their back, and then the poor would come and take. Another level is when you give to a poor person, kadem sheyishal, before he asks. This is brought is very important. Not always would the poor person come to ask, and therefore he will never get. Not always do the needy come. If you give it to the needy before they ask. The next level is when you give it to him after they ask. The next level is when you give him less than he needs, but at least with a good temperament, and you misameach, you make him rejoice. The next level is when you give him, but with despairment. The essence of this mitzvah is to give from your physical wealth to he who is in need. And in that we have the claim of the Yetzer Hara, which we hear all of the time. Everybody hears it. Why should I give my money to someone else? The money that I worked so hard for and the fortune that I have built up, and I am saving to enjoy this world, to enhance the quality of life, as the advertisements put it. To enhance the quality of life. What is enhancing the quality of life in the Western culture? A better car, a better home, overseas trip, holiday flat, a retirement village. The money which I have built up for my retirement, the money which I want to leave over for my children, people will tell you, it's awesome. Not only you shouldn't give it, you're not allowed to give away such things. Not allowed to. Charity begins at home. I have to think of myself first, my wife, my old age, my children. I should give it away and receive nothing in return. Nothing in return. I remember once there was a non-Jew who I had a working association with, and he needed some money. He asked me if I would lend him some money, so I lent him some money. Later on, I got to know his bank manager, and the bank manager was of the same religion as this person. And he tells me, Rabbi, he says, you know, I know that you lent him money and he's one of us, but he says, that's capital. You shouldn't do that.
He says, you have to put your capital to work for yourself. Why should you lend your money when it's capital? It could be in the bank. It could be in the share market, earning. Shali, shali, shalcho, shalcho. What is mine is mine. What is yours All right, you want a few prutas, a few coins, we throw in the pushka, okay? But when it comes to large amounts, hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, are you crazy? This is the, what we hear all of the time from our own Yetzirah. The Gemara tells us on this something which is very, very profound. Gemara says, Baba Basar daf yud, Tanya hoya Remeir Eimer. Remeir would say, Yesh lebal din la shivcho. Someone can come to a Jew and tell the Jew you're doing wrong by giving so much charity. You have good Jews that when they saw their brother in need, they didn't say all of these cheshbeinus, all of these calculations that you hear all of the time on the radio today and on the television. They emptied their pockets out to help them. So the mayor says that someone can come to a Jew and say, Elakechem, Eivanim, Mipneimah Einom Afansim. You're doing wrong. If the Almighty wanted to help the poor, he would have helped them himself. And here he made that person poor, and now you're making him rich. So Omar Lei, Remeir says, what's the answer to that? He's sure the Almighty could have. It's no problem for the Almighty to make the poor rich. So why didn't he do it? In order to give us the ability to save ourselves from the judgment of Gehenna. To give us the great schus, the mitzvah. This was the question that Tunis Rufus, the emperor of Rome, came and he would ask Rabbi Kiva. The Romans couldn't understand it. They asked Rabbi Kiva, what's the matter with you Jews? It's capital, why are you giving it away? It could be earning good interest for you. It belongs to your wife and it belongs to your children. And your children's children. What right do you have to give it away? Belongs to yourself. Belongs to yourself for your old age. Enhance your living. If Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to help the poor, he would. He gave you money so you should enjoy it. And there the Rabbi Kiva said, no, you're wrong. He dafke didn't give the poor, and he gave to us to give us a way to save ourselves from Gehenna. And the Vilna Gaon, in his commentary on Rus, says as follows. I quote, Ki kol ma sheneisein Hashem lezeh yeseh mizeh, hu kideish yerachim al chaveroi v'yahaneu min hachosuf. We must ask ourselves a question. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give me more than the next fellow? Why did some people the Almighty made wealthy and others he made poor? He says there's only one reason. To give that person the schus, to give him the opportunity to share of his wealth with others. This was the purpose. So we see that the Tainus HaYetzer, this is what the Yetzer comes. This is what the Romans were saying. There's not only a claim, a complaint, because of selfishness and being tight-fisted. And it's not only a complaint because they are cruel to others. But it's also because of geus, because of arrogance. Because they thought that they had wealth and the other person was poor, that they were better than them. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave me so much wealth because I'm better than the next fella. They thought, Ki Aitzim Kechi, that it is my hand she'osas kol ha'chayel hazeh. It is my hand and my strength that created this wealth. And the Torah says this is not true. Do you think you're wealthy because it's your hands that created the wealth? There are plenty of people that work longer than you and that worked harder than you and that have more brains than you and they're poorer than you. Kodesh Baruch Hu Nesein Achayil, he gives the wealth. And also it's a Galgal Achazer. It's like we quoted before, that you have it today, you'll not, doesn't mean you'll have it forever. Tomorrow the tables might be turned. It comes out something very profound, that the reason a person, when it comes to his wealth, and he starts to think that I have no right to give it away because of this and that reason, and I must utilize it for myself, he is not understanding that the whole purpose that he was given this wealth for was in order to help his fellow man who does not have it. This is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him more than the other one. We're not speaking where he gives all of his wealth away. We're not speaking where he makes himself poor. And this he's not allowed to. But we're speaking where he gives a generous portion, which is very profound and very alien to Western culture. That here a person wants to retain the wealth and withhold it from others on the basis that it's mine. It was given to me. I produced it, I created it. And when the Torah tells us just the opposite, the reason why it was given to you, to give you the great zchus, the opportunity to share it with others and to save yourself from the dina shel gehenim, from the judgment of gehenim. This is a new outlook when it comes to banking. And then we can go a little deeper. When a man gives from his wealth to another, what is he actually doing? He's giving material wealth and he's getting in return nothing material. He's getting the mitzvah. He's receiving the satisfaction of helping someone, but that's spiritual. He receives the joy of helping someone. That's spiritual. He receives the mitzvah of helping someone. This is spiritual. See, he gives away his worldly possessions in order to trade them for spiritual possessions. So what is he actually doing? He's giving away this world for the next world. This is what stokah is. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, take this world that I gave you and give it to those who are in need, and I will pay you back. Now this is the level of a Baal Elam Habo, of a person who lives on the next world. Someone who can give away this world, or a chelek, a portion of this world, for a portion of the next world. This is Baal Elam Habo. This is someone who lives on the next world. And this, the Gemara tells us, is Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov lived on this world for the next world. He didn't see in this world an ultimate, but the purpose of this world was for the next. And worldly possessions were only a means to him to gain a better world. And this is why when he met Esav, he told Esav, and he sent him the lavish gift, and Esav didn't want to accept. He told Esav, "Yesh li kol, I don't need it. I have everything that I need." Yaakov did not look at this world with an enormous hunger. The little I have, that's enough. If Kodesh Baruch Hu gives me a little, it's good. If he gives me a lot, it's also good. but he was more interested in what he could utilize that for to gain the next world. And this is why he wanted the birthright from Esav, because the birthright, the first born birthright from Esav, this represented the Schus Avoda, the one that would serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And to serve Hashem with the sacrifices that had to do with the Schar Elam Abo, the reward of the next world. Esav was to the contrary. Esav, when he prided himself in what he had, he didn't say, Yesh Li Kol, I have everything. He said, Yesh Li Rov. He says, I have so much, but not everything. By Esav, it's impossible to have everything in this world. I have much. I have great, enormous wealth, but not everything. I still want more. And when it came to the next world, what did Esav say? He said, Loma li bechera. You want to buy the birthright. What do I need it for? Hine ani heilek lomus. The birthright, that will help me in the next world. He says, I'm going to die on this world. I'm not interested in the next world because there is no next world. If I'm going to die here, so what do I need the next world? Now, when they made that trade, what was that trade? Esav sold the birthright, which was the schus of the next world, for a bowl of porridge, which was this world. And Yaakov paid a bowl of porridge of this world for a slice, for a portion of the next world. And Esav is the Baal Eilam Hazeh. He lives in this world. This gives us now a deeper understanding in Stoko and a deeper understanding why it's a Jewish quality. To give Stoko, you have to live in both worlds, this world and the next world. If you only live in this world, how can you give it away? How can you give it away? If a person's whole world is only this world, who can give his world away? And that's why Esav and the Romans couldn't give their world away. And that's why they came with all kind of questions to the Bekiva and to the mayor. And you see that in people. You want to take something of this world away from them. You are taking their life from them. And a person will fight to the death to protect his life. So will he fight to the death to protect his world. Akum makbir afil la'pochus bishava pruta, states the idolaters, even on less than the smallest coin, they will not waive. Because that's their world, that's their life. A Jew, on the other hand, you want this world from me. You need something, take it. Especially if in return I get the next world. Jew doesn't live on this world. He's here now, but his head is in the next world. To a Jew, this is a good deal. You want some of this world. You want some earthly money, and for that, I'll have life in the next world. With pleasure. It's easy to give. And this is now a deeper meaning in what the Rambam wrote, that it's a Jewish quality. Only a Jew can give so generously. And if a Jew can give, then he says, Yesh lochus v'yechusai. Then he's under suspect. When it comes to the actual fulfillment of this mitzvah, let us just make mention of various aspects. For example, how many times is a person obligated to give? We always hear these complaints. You're here again. The welfare institutions are back again. Educational institutions are back again. The yeshivas are back again. The poor are back again. The Olei Chom is back again. The Hevi Kaddish is back again. Comes Pesach. Comes Rosh Hashanah. Comes Yom Kippur. Comes Hanukkah. Bifel Mol. How many times? How many times? Didn't I give you last year? You were just here 6 months ago, 3 months ago. How many times? And that the Torah tells us, Ki paseach tiftach nosein titein. It says, when you open your hand, it said it twice in the Torah. Nosein titein, it says twice. To emphasize. So what does Rashi bring? Kam upon me, mafilu me upon me. Open your hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, even 100 times. Even 100 times. And people who use that, who say that, do not realize how foolish and foolish they are. Those people that say, again, you were just here, Nochamol, they don't realize how foolish they are. Because the reason why we are obligated to give tzedakah, we said, is because we have to be Eichez B'midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because we have to follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How many times do we come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Every morning, every afternoon, every night. What happens if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would say, you again? You were just here yesterday. You were just here 2 days ago. I gave you food yesterday. You again? How foolish, kamok, silim, and eodom, how foolish they are. Because Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats the individual the same way he treats the oni, the poor. And they are destroying their own chances. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give on Pesach and not the rest of the year. He doesn't give on Rosh Hashanah, not the rest of the year. It says, Amafanes kol chai, b'chol eis, u'b'chol sho'oh, u'b'chol zman. Every minute of the day, every second of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't stop giving and giving and giving, afilu me'o pomim, afilu, even hundreds of times. And this is what we ask from him, and this is what we need. How can we turn to those who are in need and say, didn't I give you last year? You were here 2 years ago. And one must be very careful with that. Because he doesn't want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to answer him the same way. Then we always want to know, how far are we supposed to go for the poor? The Gemara brings in Ksubas, Daf Samach Zayin Amud Beis, Seif Amud Beis. The Gemara says, there was a great sage by the name of Mar Ukva, very, very generous Baal Tzedakah. Mar Ukva hava anya b'shivavusa. There was a certain poor man that lived in the vicinity of Mar Ukva, the Havarogel Kol Yuma, the Shorilei Arba Zuze b'tzinure de Dasho. It was his custom that before Yom Kippur, he would send this poor person a very large gift. Excuse me, 1 minute, just a minute. No, excuse me. He would regularly stood at the Arba Meazuz called Malayum of Kippur. Every Erev Yom Kippur, he used to send this person a very large gift, 400 zuz. 400 zuz, dinarim. It was a large amount of money. One Erev Yom Kippur, he couldn't go himself, so he sent it with his son. His son came back and he said to his father, Leit Zorich, don't send him anymore, he doesn't need it. He says, why do you say he doesn't need it? Because I saw that here, Erev Yom Kippur, he was making himself a nice meal, but he was drinking from the finest wines. And not only from the finest wines, but he was going through a whole process that only the very wealthy did. So he says he doesn't need it. Omar Vafanki Kulihai, so Mar Ukva says, I didn't know he was used to such fancy foods. If that's the case, I finu vishadrino nele. He doubled the amount that he sent to him. Double it. If this is what he's accustomed to, this money is not enough. See, and he doubled the amount. So this is in regards to how far one should go, the quality of it. Then the Gemara tells us in Brochus, the Gemara tells us in Bav Basra Tesavad Beis, Omer B'Eichnan, Kol Aneisim Prutel Oni, Misborach V'Vov Brochus. Whoever gives a pruta to a poor man, he will be blessed with 6 brochus. But if he gives him a pruta, and also he gives to him words of encouragement, this is the source what the Rambam had brought before. He gives him words of encouragement, misborach biyud alef brochus. Then he will not have 6 brochus. He will have 11 brochus. And the Maral explains, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a nesina shleima. He wants a good giving, an opening of the hand, like he gives. And it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mechalkel chayim b'chesed. Why does he give sustenance to all life? He gives with chesed because he wants to give it. And therefore the person that wants to give it, gives it with a full hand. With a full hand. Not with a half of hand, not with a back end. And the Maral writes is that the schar, the reward of the mitzvah, of this mitzvah, is in accordance to the quality that one does it with. Anesina shlema, a total giving. Therefore, if you not only give, but you give with not only with your hand, but with your heart, and you encourage him in words, many times, if they're with the money, words alone won't help him, but words together with money can do even more, because he'll remember the words long after the money is spent. Then it's not 6 brochas, but it's 11 brochas. That's in regards to the quality of the mitzvah. What about in regards to the quantity of the mitzvah? There are individuals that always will give in accordance to their means. There are other individuals who will give a constant amount. They'll say, look, 100 rand, 1,000 rand, or whatever it might be. This is a very nice grant. But let's say a person is poor, then that's a very great grant. But let's say a person is wealthy. What is expected then? The Gemara tells us a very, very awe-inspiring episode. It brings in Shubas that Samach Vova Mit Beis. Firstly, it states that it's talking about the obligations, the monetary obligations that a husband has towards his wife. He has to sustain her in accordance to his ability. A poor man, in accordance to his ability. A wealthy man, in accordance to his ability. A wealthy man cannot say, this is plenty for you, and I'm not giving you more, if he's capable of giving more. So first the Gemara brings, Bebite shel Nakhdimon ben Gurion. The daughter of Nakhdimon ben Gurion, Nakhdimon ben Gurion was one of the wealthiest men in Yerushalayim. He was one of the 3 wealthiest men of Yerushalayim. Magnificent, enormous wealth. The Gemara brings that he and 2 others were able to sustain the entire city during the siege of the Romans for 3 years. So magnificent, he had royal wealth. His daughter married also a man from a very wealthy family also. And the man wanted to know how much should he give her in order for her to buy perfumes, cosmetics. And he wanted to do what was right, so he went to the Chachomim. And the Chachomim said, Arba mea zuhuvim lekupe shel psomim lebei b'yayim. they came to the conclusion that in accordance to what she's used to and in accordance to your wealth, you have to give her 400 pieces of gold every day for her needs. When she heard their decree, she said, "Kach tifzeku livneisechem." She gave the chachomim a brocha, and she said, "So shall be for your daughters." Onu achareu amen, and they answered amen. So this tells us a little of the wealth that we're dealing here. The daughter of Nagdiman ben Gurion, 400 pieces of gold per day, just for perfumes. Then the Gemara brings a case. Tonda rabbonon, maaseh b'Rabbi Yechman Zakkai. Rabbi Yechman ben Zakkai, this was the great leader of the generation at the time of the Roman siege. Shoyerechi v'alachamor, he was riding a donkey, v'yoytzim Yushalayim v'yotalmidim mahalchin achrov, he was going out of Yushalayim, and his disciples were following him. And he saw a young girl, and she was gathering seorim, she was gathering barley from the dung of the animals of the Arabs, in order to have something to eat. When she saw him coming, Nisatfa Besara, she fixed her scarf on her head. On the Lefonov, she stood up and went to him, and she said, "Rebbe Paniseini, Rebbe, give me what to eat." This is how poor she was. Omelo biti miat. So he said, "My daughter, who are you?" She said, "Bas Nagdiman ben Gurion ani." I am the daughter of Nagdiman ben Gurion. Rabbi Yechanan Mizakai said, "Biti, my daughter, moment shall base ovi chechon holach. You are the daughter of Nagdiman ben Gurion." Nagdiman ben Gurion was from the wealthiest men in the world, and you are his daughter, and you're collecting straw, and you're collecting barley from the dung of the animals of the Arabs, and you're asking me to give you to eat. What happened to your father's money? So she said, like those that say in Yerushalayim a parable, Melach Momen Chosar. How do you keep meat? You salt it. How do you keep your money? You also have to salt it. How do you salt money? Chaser. Amrila Chaseid. You give it away. You want to keep your money, then you have to give it to others. The salting, the giving of your money to others, adds the same to your wealth as salt to meat. It will sustain it. And my father didn't give tzedakah, and all of the money was lost. So he said, "What about your father-in-law? He also was a great wealthy man." The money got intermingled one with the other, and was all lost. So Rabbi Zeichen ben Zakkai turned to his Talmidim and he said, "Zochar ani kishe chasamti al ksuboso." And he told his Talmidim that I was at the chasn of this young lady, and I signed the ksuba, and I read. I remember when I read out the ksuba, and it said, "Elef alofim dinei zov mi beis avio," that her father is giving to the chosn and kala 1 million pieces of gold, chutz mishel chomio. And that is not including which the father of the chosn is giving to the chosn in kala. Bocha Rabbi Yechanan ben Zakkai. And Rabbi Yechanan ben Zakkai wept. And he said, "Ashreichem Yisrael, fortunate is Israel, when they fulfill the will of the Almighty, then no nation can rule over them. When they do not fulfill the will of the Almighty, then not only are they ruled by a nation, by all nations, and by an umash failure by the lowest nations, but even by their animals." This was the story. Now the Gemara asks on that. The Gemara says, what does it mean Nagdiman ben Gurion didn't give tzedakah? We learned it was said on him that when he would go from the Beis HaMedrash, from his house to the Beis HaMedrash, his servants used to come and spread expensive carpets in front of him so he shouldn't have to walk on the road. And then he wouldn't bother collecting the carpets. They would leave it for the poor. So what does it mean he didn't give? So the Gemara gives two answers. It lacked in quality. He didn't give for himself. He gave for his honor. On another answer, lacked in quantity. How did it lack in quantity? But to give, leave, put expensive carpets down and to leave them for the poor. Because people say that how much do you put on a camel? You load the camel in accordance to his strength. And so does HaKadosh Baruch Hu load a person with the mitzvah stock in accordance to his strength. If there is no shir, lamala, there is no maximum. If a person has 10 rand, then he must give an appropriate portion. If he has 1,000 rand, he must give an appropriate portion. If he has 1,000,000 rand or 1,000,000,000 rand, he must give appropriate portion. Otherwise, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take it away from him. And this is why Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai wept. So this is an amazing story, that he signed an aksuba where 1,000,000 gold pieces were being given to the chosen and kalah aside from what the father of the chosen was giving. And now she was looking for scraps in the field. And even though he gave enormous sums, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not impressed with your sums. I'm more impressed with the poor that gives something that means more to him. You're so wealthy it meant nothing to you. That's not stoker. So this is in regards to the quality and the quantity of stoker. Then we have, the Gemara tells us that especially when at a time of before a person dies, then he has to be very careful to give tzedakah. Gemara brings again on Samach Zayin Amud Beis, Ki konicha nafshei. This was with Marukva. When Marukva was dying, Omar Aisi Lichush Benoid tzedakah. He said, I'm dying, I want to see my books of tzedakah. Eshkach da havek siv bei siv alfi dinri. It was written there that he had given during his lifetime 7,000 dinarim. Very, very large sum. 7,000 dinarim during his lifetime he had given to tzedakah. He said, Klile zavde klile ve'urche rechikto. He said, this is a small amount of food for such a long distance. What does he mean? I'm now going to travel a long distance. In the next world, I have a long distance to go. And when a person goes ala derech, he goes on a journey, he takes food with him to suffice for the journey. He says, this will not suffice for me for the journey. Kom biz bizei lepalge b'meino. And he went and he gave away half of his fortune. Before he died, he wrote off half of his fortune to tzedakah. On that, the Gemara asked, how could he do it? That the Chachomim said that when you give tzedakah, you should not give more than 20%. Unless a person is very wealthy, he shouldn't give more than 20%, because then maybe he himself will become poor. So how did he do it? So on that, the Gemara says, that's during his lifetime. He shouldn't give more than 20% unless he can afford it. But when he's going to die, he's not going to need it anymore. Then one is allowed. Now here, we always have, the person wants to know, we want to know, what should he do when he dies? Give it away. Maybe he should leave it. Maybe he should leave it for his children. He has to take care of his wife. He has nephews. He has brothers, grandchildren, and so forth. So this question is brought in the Peskim. It's brought in Shulchan Aruch. The Chofetz Chaim speaks about it in Avos Chesed. And it states as follows. Of course one must leave for his wife. That's his obligation. That he has to. must make sure that his wife is very, very comfortable and should be able to maintain the same standard of living that when he was alive. And if his children are in need, or he has parents who are in need, or brothers who are in need, that's stalker. And not only is that stalker, that's the greatest stalker. The Rambam brings in this parak. Someone who supports his parents that are in need, or children, that's the greatest stalker, because stalker begins at home, the same charity begins at home, that comes from the sages. Akorav korav kodim. You must first help those who are close to you. But then that stalker. But what happens if Baruch Hashem, his children, they all drive nice cars and they all have nice homes. See? And they have overseas trips and they have holiday flats and everything else. And the same thing with his brothers and everyone else. Then that's not stalker. They're not in need. Then it states in the pay scheme that use the money for yourself. Then a person must be selfish. Use the money for yourself. And how are you going to use the money for yourself? By preparing for your trip to the next world. Your children will take care of themselves. They're not poor. They have good jobs and good homes, and you set them up. Now the rest, use your money for yourself. And that's why Mar Ukva gave away half of his possessions. If he had poor relatives, then in the half that he gave away went there. If he had wealthy relatives, then that's not stalker, so he gave it to the poor. And he utilized his wealth for himself. That will be tzedal derech, food for a long journey. Still in Shulchan Aruch it's brought that since he only gave half away, so it states that it's not right that a person should give all his money away. He must leave a good portion, even half of his portion, he must leave for his family, even though they are wealthy. But the other half he must give to the poor. This is very, very important. There are people who have children who are millionaires and they are ready to die with millions and they leave it for their children and they say, I can't, it's my children's money. It belongs to them. It doesn't belong to them, it belongs to you. The great Rav of St. Louis that I was associated with for many years, he once said on a Jew, there was a wealthy Jew, and he used to come to him because the needs of the city were great. He had poor people. There were almanas, there were widows, there were orphans, there were institutions. And this man wouldn't give money. And when he was dying, he told him, he says, all your life you lived like a goy. Don't die also like a goy. L'chola pochos il zoi starben vi ayid. At least die like a Jew. And now leave them your money. This is very, very important. This is what the Gemara tells us. Now, we mentioned that we said that you're trading in this world for the next world when you give tzedakah. A person should realize also that tzedakah has a big fringe benefit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, Ki b'chlal azeh, b'glal azeh yivarechecho. For most mitzvahs, schar mitzvah, the reward is in the next world. This that I said, you're trading in this world for the next world. It's true that you're getting the next world. But the Torah tells us you're not even trading in this world. Ki b'glal azeh yivarechecho. When you take care of my poor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, then I will give you this world also. It states, Aser ta Aser, Aser kedesh tishish asher. Give, Maiser. They had to give 10% of their crops. 10% of a farmer of his crops is a great, great deal of his crops. And he had to give it to the Levim and to the poor. Maiser Levin, Maiser Oni. not only a double 10%, 10% to the levy, and then 10% every 3 years to the oni, to the poor. And that goes into great, great money by big farmers. And it states you will become wealthy from it. Or Maestra Sigla Esher, when you gave, that was the best way, you became rich. And the reason for this is, the Baral explains, because when one gives, this world has no eternalism in it. It's not eternal. Anything in this world ends. How do we make this world last? If we have material wealth, we know that it can be here today and gone tomorrow. When a person, like the Gemara says, salts meat, it lasts. When he salts his money also, it lasts. How does he salt his money? By giving it to tzedakah. And how is that? Because then he cleaves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of life. And what's by Hashem lasts. The example is given like a well, a spring. When you have a spring of water, it's a very odd phenomenon. The water is gushing out, and as the water goes out, more constantly, the source brings more water in all of the time. If you would stop that water from gushing, if you would stop that water from spreading, then the source would not feed more water into it. And not only that, but it would become stagnant and it would become ruined, the water. When a person is giving his money away and he is cleaving to the mitzvah of Hashem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu feeds more water into the source all of the time, and it becomes Mayim Chayim, living waters. When he holds the water back, when he holds the money back, then no more water comes into the source and it dies. We quoted before Stoker Tatzel Mimovis, that Stoker saves one from death. Firstly, he gives life to the Oni. When he gives money to the poor, he's giving them actual life, because he will live off of that. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will return this. And again, he will, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he cleaves to the source of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is life. We quoted a posuk that stated as follows: Reidev Tzedakah v'Chesed, he who pursues charity and kindliness, Yimotzei Chaim Tzedakah u'Kovod, he will find life, he will find charity, he will find honor. And this, the Gemara says, firstly, you must pursue it. You must look for it. We must realize it's a great schus to give tzedakah. The Gemara says on this that he'll find life, or we understand. We explain why he will find life. But what does it mean he will find tzedakah? He will find charity. Because he gives charity, he will find it. And that, the Gemara says, a person who gives charity, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see that he always has money to give more charity. A person who gives charity, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see that he has the right people coming to him to ask for charity. To exclude, the Gemara brings that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry, then he rejects our mitzvahs. And even when we want to give tzedakah, he'll see that we have the wrong people coming to us for tzedakah. And even our mitzvah won't be a mitzvah. It's a schus that your mitzvah of tzedakah should be good. How many people do we see give away money, and who knows where it ends up? You have in the world people who give away millions, and it ends up buying elephants for zoos or paintings for museums. You have others that will give away no more money or even less. and it'll end up feeding orphans, giving life to widows, bringing happiness to the sick or to the aged. We must not take it for granted that we can give tzedakah even whenever we want. First of all, we have to have the money to do it. And secondly, even when we give it, how do we know what's going to happen? So it states that he who pursues tzedakah, who gets the schus? Why do some people, their money, who knows where ends up? The one who really wants to help others, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see, he will find tzedakah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see, he'll have money and he'll have the right people to give it to. And then it states also, he will have bonim, he will have children who will be chachomim, wise, who will be ashirim, wealthy, and balei agoda, to be able to darshan, to be able to speak divrei Torah to large audiences. Now the Maral explains here also something very profound, and this is something we have to remember. He says, what is the greatest attribute that a person can have? A dead person has no life in. He's lifeless. We all want life. But someone who has life, that's someone who's constantly taking. We are always taking. Every morning, every afternoon, every evening, we take from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We take from him. Always taking. The greatest attribute that a person can have, not that he's alive, but that he can give life. A person that can give life, then he becomes like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives life. And the greatest attribute that a person can have is if he has the schus also to give life. And therefore Shlomo HaMelech said that Reiv Tzedakah, someone who wants to give life, he wants to give charity and he looks for it. Tzedakah Chesed, he's always looking what he can do. So the Rambam says he gives before he's asked. He's not one that says, you again, but he gives before he's asked. That's a person who wants to be a giver of life like Hashem. Then Hashem will see that he gets life, and with that life he will be able to give. He will have money to give and the right people to give to, and covered, and he will have children that will be wise, that can give Torah. Not only will he give life, he'll have children that will give life. Ashirim, he will have children that are wealthy that can give tzedakah. And balei agoda, those are those that can darshan barabim, that can bring Torah to the masses. That's what Shlomo HaMelech says. If you're Reiv Tzedakah, if you want and you seek, then you will be a giver like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you will find Chaim Tzedakah who covered. From here we see the great schus. The great schus that one has when he has the wealth and the capability of giving tzedakah. I would just like to conclude with two stories from the Gemara in this vein. One is, this is in Baba Basra Daf Ches. Baba Basra Daf Tes on the base. In regards to what we said, that the tzedakah saves one from death. Excuse me, this is Yud. Yud Omer Aleph. Tanya Hore Remeya Emer. It's on Yud Aleph. Daf Yud Aleph. Tanya Omro Loval Binyomin Atzadik. There was a man by the name of Binyamin. They used to call him Binyamin the Righteous. He was a gabbai. He used to take care of a charity fund. One time a woman came to him. It was famine. And she said, Rebbe, give me to eat. And he said, I swear to you, there is no money left in the fund. She said, Rebbe, if you do not give me to eat, then a woman with 7 children are going to die from starvation. So Omad Upam So Mishalei, he stood up and he went to the bank and he took out his own personal funds and he gave to her. It wasn't long when he became sick and he was dying. And the Malachi Ashoris, the angels, came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they said, "You said that if you save one life in Israel, it's like you saved the whole world. Binyamin HaTzadik that saved a woman and seven children, and he will die in his young age. Miyad Korele Gzardinai. Immediately the evil decree was broken. Shehatzdokom Avirin Reya Gzeru. Hosifa Lei Esrim Ushtaim Shona Al Shneisov. And 22 years were added to the life of Binyamin HaTzadik. That's one story. A second story. Maise Bemunbas Amelech Shebizbeis Eitzreisov Eitzres Aveisov Bishnei Betzureis. There was a case of Munbis. Munbis was from the Hashmonaim. He was from the royal family of the Hashmonaim that were doing Hanukkah. And there came great famine in the land. And there was no money. And he went and he opened up the treasury houses, the royal treasury houses, and with a generous hand he gave the money to the people. Like we find, the family started a whole row. His brothers and his fathers all came to him, the house of the fathers, and they said, "Our fathers stored more money away and they added to the treasuries of the previous generations. And you are squandering them." What did he answer? Listen to what he answered. "Our fathers gathered up money in this world. I am gathering up money for the next world. Our fathers gathered up money where it can be stolen or destroyed. I am saving money. I am gathering up money where no hand can touch it. Our fathers gathered up wealth which cannot bring forth fruits. I am gathering wealth that can bring forth fruits. Our fathers gathered up storehouses of money. I am gathering up storehouses of lives. Our fathers, they thought they were saving for themselves. A man who saves money for himself, he's making a mistake. He's saving for others. He says, they gathered up money for others. Ani gonasti la'atzmo. I am saving up for myself, for ourselves. They save for this world. I am saving for next world. As it states, v'hoya lefanecho tzikecho kfeir Hashem yasvecho. That stoker will go in front of you in the next world. These are some of the insights into this mitzvah of stoker, which is from the Rambam writes, we are obligated, is a Jewish quality. It's a quality from Avraham Avinu. We are obligated to be more careful in this mitzvah than any other positive commandment. And in Yitz Hashem, with the great schus of Tzedakah of Klal Yisrael, our tefillah should be heard before the Shem Hadin, and we should all be written and sealed for the Shnas Chaim, a year of life. And as the Gemara brings also, Tzion B'Tzedakah, Tipode, a year of redemption, which also states that will come through the merit of the Tzedakah of Klal Yisrael. Amen v'amen.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.